I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
For some reason, there are a bunch of chips and lots of tubs of dip or some type of liquid cheese.
You got a nacho cheese situation.
Left in the studio and all over the building.
And it's been rave reviews around here. We are stuffing our faces.
I've been eating a lot of the chips. I don't eat liquid cheese. I don't often dip things other than French onion, delicious dip with my chips. But you want to do a taste test next segment where I try a cheese that I've never tried before in liquid form.
You're going to try some nacho cheese and get with the world.
Not a fan of liquid cheese.
How? How many times have you had it?
Like disgusting nacho cheese?
No, just nacho cheese that the world loves. How many times have you had it?
A couple, many, many years ago.
Zero, right?
No. I've never tried queso dip or queso cheese.
Right.
But like the yellow.
You'll never guess what the Spanish word for cheese is.
Queso.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying that's like the different color. Like the one at Chipotle is like a white.
Yeah, just your cheese origin that's been melted down.
I've tried the like nacho hot yellow out of a tub, like pumping it like it's ketchup. I've tried that like once many, many years ago. Borderline threw up. It was terrible. I'll never do it again. But queso, I've never tried that.
I see.
Let's give away Caps tickets, Danny. Congrats. You're winning two right now if you're caller 10. 800-636-1067. You're going to go see the Capitals January 13th against Montreal. Dylan Strome bobblehead night. You'll get a bobblehead as well on your boys for the complete Cap schedule. And tickets, go to thefandc.com/events. Congratulations to whoever wins those Caps tickets. Start dialing right now. I got to say, we've been giving away some Caps tickets. People are fired up to win those.
Yeah, people have been calling ad nauseum because we are giving away. It's pretty much every day, right? This week we give away Caps tickets. That's
all
not bad.
Long.
Not bad.
Tomorrow we're going to be out and about. We should remind everyone we're going to be at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly.
They're wonderful.
Live show from 2 to 6:30. We'll see you out in Chantilly. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz. Josh Robbins covers the Wizards for The Athletic, joins us now on the Blitz. Josh, what was your reaction when you started to hear that Trae Young might actually be traded to the Wiz, and then when you found out that there were no picks involved, but it was McCollum and Kispert going back to Atlanta?
That it's a relatively low-risk trade for the Wizards. C.J. McCollum didn't fit into the long-term plan. Corey Kispert was coming off the bench and was arguably blocked by a bunch of younger players who are better on the defensive end. In terms of not getting a pick, that did surprise me a bit, but it remains a low-risk move unless the Wizards could have found another trade somewhere for McCollum, and I'm not sure that he had a tremendous amount of demand for his services.
What does this do? Forget basketball for a second. Business-wise, cap flexibility-wise, what does this do for the front office and what they can kind of start to cook up machinations-wise this year and next?
They still will have enough money, even if Trae Young, as expected, exercises his $49 million player option, to offer a very sizable free agent deal to someone in the class, anyone in the class. The caveat there is that this free agent class is very poor. It's just not very strong. So maybe they could use some of that cap space to offer a one-year deal here and there, maybe a couple of one-year deals if they view that as some help. But even if this trade, if Trae Young doesn't play well here and he doesn't mesh with the other guys, well, then they could either try to trade him before the 2027 trade deadline, or they could use that $49 million in expiring money to go onto the free agent market in 2027. So it's relatively low risk.
Do you expect them to shut Trae Young down this year?
I don't expect him to play a whole lot. Perhaps not at all. A large part of that, I think, would be the necessity of trying to retain their pick and then trying to raise the floor for the worst possible scenario for that pick. And I think that they would also justify it as giving developmental opportunities to some of the young players, particularly young players such as Keyshawn George, who's essentially been a point forward. But I don't expect Trae Young to play a whole bunch, and they're welcome to prove me wrong.
So, Josh, first of all, that's great to hear. That's music to my ears, and I hope you're right. But I am curious. Educate me on this. Can the league be annoying in this way? Can they poke around, or are there any concerns of, you know, them rearing their head or getting fined? Or like, how does that actually work?
Well, that would be fascinating, and that's a great question. And it's part of what makes that question so great is that in recent weeks, the league has started to have some whispers that they're looking to invoke some sort of reforms at some point regarding tanking. So I don't have a clear answer for you. I wish I did. Now, the reality, and it's fortunate for the Wizards, is that Trae Young did have a sprain in his knee in December. That's the injury, not just December, it was November and December, and I think it was suffered in late October. This is the stretch of games in which the Hawks played well, better without him. I think they were 13-9 over that stretch. So he did indeed suffer an injury. And I'm just asking a rhetorical question here. How would anyone prove otherwise if Trae Young says his knee is sore? I don't have an answer to that. Very hard to disprove something that cannot be quantified.
What is he now? I mean, a few years ago, Josh, he was a lethal penetrator, shooter, pick and roll guy. I mean, I know defensively it is what it is, but offensively he was a weapon. Now, maybe not exactly the same, but still good, kind of question mark. What do you think Trae Young is right now from a basketball perspective, one healthy?
I think he's still someone who has tremendous gravity in terms of forcing double teams. And if he's got a double team on him, he's got more than enough court vision and passing skill to pass it to an open man. And that puts defenses in rotation. And once a defense goes into rotation, if the offense is good enough and people are patient enough, you're going to get an open shot. And so for people such as, again, Keyshawn George, Bilal, Sarr, Carrington, Trae Johnson, perhaps most of all, they should feast on open shots, which for young players is like, it's like a high fiber diet. It's really good for you, right? And or chips and queso, despite the audience who I'm speaking to right now. I guess one of you doesn't like chips and queso. But that would be a great thing for them if all these young guys get open shots. And he still would be incredibly lethal in the pick and roll. And if Clint Capella, who is nowhere near as skilled as Alex Sarr is, could become a tremendous lob threat with Trae Young running pick and rolls, then Alex Sarr could become one of the more lethal pick and roll threats in the entire league.
Josh, thank you. Excellent with us. We appreciate the info. Fun time to be covering the Wiz. Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's talk football. Tom Shad covers the Commanders. He's been pretty busy as well. Tom, how about the development today out of the blue after what was 72 hours of kind of Mike McDaniel seemingly being the remaining head coach of the Dolphins? He gets fired, so the possibility that he could be the OC in D.C. is back on. Just how viable a candidate is he, and how likely is it that they can land him?
I think he's a viable candidate if he doesn't land in a head coaching job. You know, I think it's safe to say he's going to be one of the most sought after candidates on the market for a coordinator position. And then the question is just, does he get another look as a head coach? Obviously had a decent amount of success there in Miami before they moved on, a overall record above 500. So really that's just, I think the fundamental question for me is will he be available as an OC candidate? And if he is, you know, the ties to Dan Quinn are well documented. And I think he fits kind of, you know, the mold of a different kind of more traditional Shanahan style offense that could really help do what they're looking for.
Where would this job here in Washington rank in terms of coordinator spots, in terms of desirable landing spots for somebody?
It's a great question. I think it kind of depends, you know, as with it normally is with these things, on your opinion of the quarterback and kind of how you think they fit in your system. You know, if you think really highly of Jared Goff, for example, maybe that Lions job is going to be more appealing to you. But I would have to think that a lot of people would be excited by the possibility of working with Jaden Daniels, just given the variety of things that he can do and all the promise that he's shown in his rookie year. So I would have to think for that reason that it's pretty high, but I guess it kind of depends on your opinion of quarterbacks.
I also wonder, too, it feels to me like getting to work with Daniels makes this job so good. His relationship with Quinn is maybe equally as big a deal. I mean, what is the bigger reason for optimism, do you think, or the bigger selling point in terms of landing McDaniel for Washington? Is it Daniels or Quinn?
Probably Daniels. I mean, I think there are obviously a lot of personal relationships in the coaching world, and that's not to discount that, but ultimately things work when you're winning, right? And everybody, I think, wants to be in a position where they think that they can have success, and Daniels is probably the primary reason why, if you're going to come in here and kind of implement your offense, you think that you can do that.
If it's not McDaniels, where will they go fishing? I'm going to do that a million times, and I hope it stops, but I'm going to add the S, and I don't mean to. If it's not Mike McDaniel, where will they fish for their OC?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of directions I think they could potentially go. You know, another guy who has kind of similar ties as Mike McDaniel is Mike LaFleur, who's in Los Angeles. Obviously, the offensive coordinator with the Rams having a great year, but Sean McVay calls the plays there. So this would be an opportunity to get back to kind of calling his own shots like he did with the Jets. And obviously, he's one of those guys, again, like McDaniel has ties to DQ, but also Adam Peters, you know, a little bit of familiarity there in San Francisco. You know, and then it just kind of beyond that, I think maybe a guy like Kevin Stefanski, depending on how things you know, shake out with him in the head coaching world, Brian Daboll, you know, depending on how things work out there. You know, I know that there's been some discussion of like a David Blau type. Obviously, you could promote from within. You have him and Brian Johnson and Anthony Lynn. You know, I think they would have to really present a compelling argument for how they would do things differently and what they think they could do for any of those guys to get the job.
What's the argument for Blau if he gets the job? How could they sell that?
I think the sales pitch would have to be, you know, this young up-and-coming guy that's kind of not necessarily Sean McVay, but obviously you know this, Grant. You guys know this. Like, they've had really promising offensive minds in this building before and then let them go, whether it was McVay or O'Connell. So I think, you know, that would kind of be their selling point, or Blau's selling point, I should say, is that, you know, you get this young guy who's kind of on the rise before he becomes a big name, as opposed to you know, letting him walk and potentially become a big name somewhere else.
Tom, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, dude. Hit the NFL sounder, Darius. Lost in all this coaching stuff, GP, this carousel has heated up like you wouldn't believe, and college football postseason gets back underway here tonight with some games all this weekend. Wild card round, it is upon us, my friend. Saturday, we got games.
Yes, we do. A doubleheader on Saturday, a triple header on Sunday, and then the newly developed Monday Night Football playoff game over the last couple of years. So it's a three-day window of postseason action. Game one on Saturdays at 4:30 local time, Rams-Panthers. I know Carolina beat L.A. when those two teams played in the regular season. That would shock me. It just feels to me like the Panthers are cannon fodder. What is interesting, though, is the Panthers' point differential this year, which is abysmal, is the fourth lowest among teams that have made the playoffs in the modern era. If you look at the teams that won their divisions with sub-500 records, with lower point differentials, so this is the 2010 Seahawks, the 2011 Broncos, and the 2004 Rams, all three won in the first round of the playoffs. Isn't that crazy?
That is wild.
All three won in the wild card round somehow.
Because they get a home game.
It helps, yeah. Certainly. They all had home games, but 8-9 Carolina, like those other teams that were sub-500, a -69 differential, fourth worst all-time in the playoffs, trying to make those terrible teams 4-0 in the first round.
10.5-point dogs at home kind of tells you the story, but what the world thinks there, right? Devonta Adams coming back makes that Rams offense just lethal. I think the Rams still are the most complete team in the NFL. I don't know if that means they're the best, but they've got everything that I would want, right? You got pass rush on defense, couple playmakers on offense with a heady quarterback that knows what he's doing, a genius offensive mind that nails all the P's and Q's. I just feel like they should be winning this thing, but again, you know, that's why they line up and play the games. That'll be a fun one.
The Rams, here is the argument against them maybe being what we thought they were going to be, rounding into being the favorite, the team to come out of the NFC. Their resume has some flaws.
It does.
Struggled with the Cardinals for three quarters in Week 18. lost as an 8.5-point favorite to San Francisco, lost as a 10-point favorite to Carolina. Sound familiar? 10-point favorite to Carolina. They lost that game this year. Lost as a 7-point favorite to the Falcons recently. Lost a 26-7 second-half lead against the Eagles. And they lost a 30-14 fourth-quarter lead against Seattle. So they have lost some games they had no business 100%. Losing.
100%.
Both before they started and then with gigantic second-half leads. So it's not like that is, you know, a team that can't be had. Second game on Saturday, Packers-Bears, third time in about a month in the NFC North.
Sign me up for that one. I mean, both were absolute thrillers going back and forth, and it was fun. It was kind of the, you know, the old guard, so to speak, in Green Bay, even though, you know, Jordan Love hasn't won a Super Bowl, doesn't have all the decorations, but it feels like Green Bay's always there, always around. And here's the upstart Chicago kind of, you know, trying to take what you have, Uncle Frank. That's a fun one, man. I cannot wait for it. That's probably my second or third favorite game of the weekend, but it's up there.
They played for the first time a month ago yesterday. Green Bay hung on to win that game 28-21. Caleb Williams throws a pick in the end zone, trying to tie it up in the final seconds. Then they played one of the games of the year in the NFL in week 16 on December 20th, right before Christmas. I think that was a Saturday night game. Caleb ends up hitting a home run to DJ Moore on the long ball in overtime to win that after the Bears somehow, in crazy fashion, came back to tie that game. I think they were down 16-6, got an onside kick, 10-point closeout in the final 2 minutes, and then they got the game-winning touchdown. Really a wild win for Chicago to help get to 11-6 on the year. That's my favorite game in terms of the ones I'm excited to watch, just because of the division rivalry, the storyline of LaFleur and Ben Johnson as well, you know, because Ben Johnson kind of
randomly icy.
Well, it's not that random. He called him out. In his
that's what I mean. It's so random. It's like, do you hate, you know that guy? No. He just decided,
He just chose to, like, call him out, even though he's a pretty good head coach. So that was a weirdness that started that relationship. But that's game two on Saturday. Sunday's triple header headlined by Bills-Jaguars early, 49ers-Eagles middle of the day, and then it winds down with Chargers-Patriots at night. Favorite game on Sunday?
It's Bills-Jags. Because Jags is the team that nobody's talking about. Bills are the group that their window was wide open, and it's slowly closed a little bit by a little bit by a little bit by a little bit. Now they're a wild card team. That doesn't matter to them as much. They've still got Superman. Can he put his cape on for a few games and actually win a Super Bowl when the AFC field is devoid of the monsters, right? It's pretty much been Pat Mahomes' conference. Now it's not. It's pretty much been, if it's not Mahomes, it was Burrow one time or Tom Brady a decade ago, basically. All the big bads aren't there anymore. And I know that narrative is a little bit, you know, oversimplifying of things because there's defenses and special teams and coaches and timeouts and a million things in between. But what better time for Josh Allen than right now, this minute, devoid of all of those big bads that have taken so much from you?
That's your Beltway Blitz. I've got a Cliff Kingsbury update. I think you guys will be surprised to hear what's cooking on the Cliff Kingsbury front right now. We'll get to that as soon as we return on Grant and Danny. Also, next, right here on G&D, Danny's going to make me taste something that I don't like very much.
Speaking of cooking.
You're listening to The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. I do want to get back into the firing of Mike McDaniel by the Dolphins. The possibility that he becomes the OC for Dan Quinn here in Washington. Your update on Cliff Kingsbury, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly, this is going to be fascinating for people, I think. From Jordan Schultz, which means he was in touch today maybe with Kingsbury's agent.
Yeah, it seems like there's been a text message thread there.
Any other correspondences?
Anything else coming out?
Do we think recently?
Anybody?
He seems to know who's going to be interviewing Cliff Kingsbury. I find that compelling. But Jordan Schultz says, his sources are telling him, former Commanders OC Cliff Kingsbury will be interviewing with the Ravens for their head coaching job and the Titans for their head coaching job. I can't see him getting the Baltimore gig. It just feels like that'd be out kicking his coverage a little bit. That's a hell of a job. But I could see him getting the Titans gig, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a year later, Cam right Ward. After they failed once, kind of maybe know where they've gone wrong.
Right.
Like last year, that's a bad job. This year, it's not a good job, but maybe they go, okay, maybe there's some lessons learned.
Although they've gone from Vrabel to Brian Callahan, and then the interim tag on, I think, Mike McCoy.
Yeah.
To Cliff Kingsbury. Like, what a terrible.
Yeah, they're the Texans trajectory. Of a few years ago, you know?
All right, you wanted me to try this liquid cheese.
Yeah, so it's a queso. I don't know where it came from or why it's here, but I'm delighted that
it is. Is this definitely queso cheese?
Yeah, and I want to make sure we're very clear that you don't know the difference. You just keep, you're going, I don't want liquid cheese. I don't want cheese, but I want queso.
So is pretty much interchangeable. Cheese the same as the nacho cheese that I find repulsive and is the reason why I don't eat liquid cheese?
No, I don't know how to explain this to you. So there's a difference between, so it'd be like someone going, I want a steak at the best steakhouse in the world. So you're going to spend $90 on a 16-ounce Wagyu, or I got this tough as nails, you know, flank steak that the butcher threw out 6 days ago, right. And I'm gnawing at it. The store-bought queso was still delicious, by the way. The nacho cheese that's liquid and processed and gross, still wonderful. You're crazy for not liking it. But I'm not telling you that's as high quality as like a restaurant queso that you have here, melted in from real cheese. All the ingredients are kind of together. It's heated up. It shouldn't be too hot. It should be nice and warm.
Couple of issues. The top of this is now like hardened almost like a solid cheese. Congealed, if you will.
Give it a stir.
So should I stir it around?
Give it a little stir. Yeah, I gave you a spoon for that purpose.
Okay.
So now, here's what I wonder while you're doing that.
Yeah.
And I throw this out to the producer's room as well. I always wonder when people can't taste great things that taste great, like what's broken about them, either like a traumatic memory or taste bud wise. I think this is pretty definitive. If you don't like this, then I don't think you like your taste buds work.
Right.
Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? So, like, there's no way someone could eat that and go, no.
So I've stirred it so that it's now liquid.
Yeah.
So we're in a good place there. Mm-hmm. Consistency-wise, this is the likes of something I could really enjoy. In other words,
yep.
I love crab or lobster bisque.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I like to call it, lobster bisque.
Listen, I'll do that bisque joke until I'm dead.
I'm waiting for my invite to go out to the Palm with Zabe to sit down. So that I can have some lobster bisque while we talk football. I love bisque. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, that part's great. When Clary, when we would go to Rudy's to do the golf and Grant and Danny show thing.
Sure.
Every week he would have like six bowls of this hot dip. I believe it was a buffalo chicken.
A little buffy chicken.
Offering.
Sure was.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. What I don't do is melted cheese.
But again, you do. It's that buffalo chicken dip is that plus some chicken and a little bit of Frank's Red Hot.
But I don't think that's what it was.
What I need you to understand respectfully is that's exactly what it is. It's melted cheese with some, then the hot wing chicken flavor in it.
Now, what I hate is liquid cheese. Whenever people go, what do you mean by that? What I'm referencing is nacho cheese, okay? What I've never eaten is nachos with hot.
Yep.
Hot's not the right word.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
The liquid is the right word.
Like if you go to a movie theater, like I would, and get a thing.
Disgusting bastard. Yes.
Get a thing of nachos and cheese, and they give you the cheese cup. And you don't want that type of cheese.
That cheese cup should be thrown in the garbage.
If you go to a convenience store and they have the dispenser,
you will not get
the dispenser that has the nacho cheese.
Hang on. I've got to throw up after what you just said. Yes. Disgusting.
But you've never had it.
I mean, probably as a kid at some point. I'm sure I did. 100%. I mean, everyone has it at some point. Now, I thought I hated nachos, when in fact, I don't hate nachos.
See, there we go.
Nachos are just the chips that I really like. But I need shredded cheese sprinkled with your fingertips on the nachos.
That's how this cheese started, just like that cheese.
Baked and then melted onto the chip. With a little bacon or whatever, and then I will eat those nachos.
Mm-hmm.
But in a world where there's like this kind of dip, I'm going to work around, is there a chip that has none of this on it? Then I will eat that
chip. You're just eating a chip at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't want the liquid cheese.
Right.
So like I don't eat nachos, because if you go to Nat's Park and you put it under that pump to get that cheese out,
So here's I'll do my best to get you in the know. When we're eating that processed, lower quality thing, it's a similar deal to going, there's a gourmet, you know, hand-packed special sausage that you'd go to like a great German restaurant and eat versus a ballpark dog. I'm not saying one's the same quality, but it's like the ghost of that.
Okay.
In other words, so when you're eating the processed thing, we've all had that, which you're about to eat.
But
and we're eating the processed, low-rent JV
version. Can I try
JV
my question
version.
A different way?
Sure.
You're very fixated on the quality of the melted cheese, which is understandable. What I'm wondering is what's in this bowl the same as melted nacho cheese, or is this a different type of cheese?
I'm trying to answer that question. This is what you're not
is
getting.
Is queso just the word cheese in Spanish?
Yes, queso is just Spanish for cheese.
So it's not a special... I always thought, like, this is yellow. I'm bothered by this. I don't like what this looks like.
Okay.
I was thinking the queso would be white. I want a white, creamy substance.
It's your base for what the original cheese
was. Don't pull that audio, by the way.
Could you play it loud?
No.
It's based on what the cheese originally was.
So. I prefer I hadn't have said that, but I did. Queso's white.
Some is. It again, it's whatever your cheese origin is.
I think I could like the white queso. I don't think I like the yellow queso.
Here's what I'm trying to tell you.
Because the yellow is going to be nacho cheese.
But that again, this you just don't know anything, and you keep saying these things that aren't jiving. The processed, gooey, artificial, preservative-filled thing they made up in a lab where they're like, we could use real cheese and melt it down and do all the labor, or do this for 4 cents and fill a Tostitos thing with it, and we can sell a lot more, $2 a thing, and make more money.
I would never eat that.
Yeah, the processed thing was based on this. I keep saying the same thing. It's a processed version of this started.
So the nacho cheese, they were like, this is so good and so popular that people want this.
This is the one.
Let's give them a crap version of it.
Yeah, what you find at the ballpark where you're going, sprinkle your cheese on.
If the Nats spent money on free agency and decided to spend money on cheese,
there you go.
Then it could shoot out this.
This is the Pete Alonso of cheeses as opposed to the Josh Bell of cheeses.
No way.
Yeah. So this
is the Scherzer contract?
This is the real thing. So
this is 210 mil.
This began as
Boris
cheese.
Boris represents this cheese?
I don't know all the ingredients, but it's going to be, it's like cheese, little Rotel, little, which is mini tomatoes, peppers, a bunch of different things to give it flavor and joy. So, nacho cheese, like the thing that comes out.
That's Nick Senzel. That's Joey Meneses.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Still a major leaguer.
Darris
still good.
Goes to the movie theater and eats Nick Senzel. Why would he do that?
Because it's amazing. Even the same way a hot dog.
It can't play third.
The same way a hot dog is just horrendous for you. But you know what people are doing? Eating 7 hot dogs on the 4th
of
July.
So one last thing I wanted to say then. I think it smells terrible.
Yeah, this is, again, your major weakness. Where you've dismissed an entire hemisphere of food because you go, it's too Mexican-y, which makes no sense to anybody.
So that's the last problem that I'd like to bring up.
Uh-huh.
Russell said, why have you not eaten queso cheese? And I said, I don't do Mexican-y food. I don't do Mexican-y items.
Right.
And he's like, well, you don't eat tacos? You don't eat this?
And he doesn't.
Like, I eat burritos all the time. I was like, oh, we caught you. Oh, we got
you. No, you eat King George burritos, which are two meats.
I eat burritos with meat, rice, cheese. Wait before everyone screams like Dunk Howard just won the dunk contest.
No one's screaming.
Okay. The cheese is the sprinkled solid cheese, like out of a bag in your refrigerator in the little drawer that opens up.
Yeah.
That cheese. And I might put some corn in it if I feel like, get the corn out of my face, if I feel really good about the corn.
But you can't do any salsa. You can't do any salsa fresca, salsa verde,
zero
the red.
Salsa. Verde.
No guacamole.
Hearing verde, I'm out.
It's just the word green, man.
Queso, out.
Out.
Pico.
Pico. Ugh. Scary word.
Just
out.
Small?
No, I don't care what
it means.
It just
means small.
You know what? Starbucks, call stuff what you're supposed to.
They're all three words for large at Starbucks. I agree with you.
I'm bending for you. You call things what I need them to be.
Okay.
So I'm out on all that stuff. But anyway, I will try this for you.
Here we go. We got a drum roll? Get a chip. Do a little dip.
Well, first, let me take a couple calls.
Okay.
Andrew's in Warrington.
It's probably cold now.
Andrew wants to answer my question. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
How are you? I never thought that this information would come in handy. So what queso or nacho cheese, let's try to use the right terminology for you. What the nacho cheese is basically cheddar cheese with sodium citrate in it. The sodium citrate keeps it, when it turns all melty, it keeps it from separating into the oil and the curds and whey. So you can do that with just about any other cheese. So if this is a white cheese, it is possibly either a queso blanco, it is possibly a white cheddar, it could be mozzarella, it could, with sodium
citrate,
all things
can be. Have you seen the queso at Chipotle that's like white?
Yes. Yes.
What is that?
So that is specifically queso blanco. It's a type of cheese from down south that is that it gets gooey, spreadable, and with sodium citrate turns into that wonderful thing. You add in a little bit of verde or spices.
What?
That's all that verde is. It's just,
yeah. Well done, Andrew. Now I've He's never had it. That because mm-hmm. I don't think I like it. But I if I had to guess, and you were to say, if you were to tell me mm-hmm. you're going to like one of these, and you're going to have that next to this, there's no chance I will like this one more than the white queso, in my opinion. This resembles nacho cheese. It is yellow in color.
It's because your base cheese in that one is a yellow cheese.
Is this Shug in Silver Spring? Is this Shug?
Hey.
Shug, I saw your work in the Puff Daddy documentary. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Greg,
what's
you
up?
Are tripping. Cheese is the best thing about the earth.
There it is.
Cheese is the best thing about living here. It's
Young
not
lady, go
like
ahead.
He asked you to try. It's not like he asked you to try like
Snails.
Cauliflower rice or black eyed peas dip or guacamole or hum. It's cheese, dude.
It's cheese.
Sugar, I love cheese. You're acting like
he doesn't. Sugar, he doesn't.
I love cheese.
He doesn't.
Oh my God, I love cheese.
Like,
I eat string cheese.
Like,
I eat
I'm not
brie.
Even supposed to eat cheese. I'm lactose intolerant, and I still eat it.
Same.
Because
Shug,
it's so good.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite category of food is Mexican food. So I love tacos.
Oh, Mexican food. So, I
why'd you hang up on Shug?
I didn't mean to, Shug.
Oh my God.
That was an accident.
Did you see what he did?
That was an accident. I'm getting booed by Toby.
Boo.
I did not mean to hang up. My finger slipped. But I will say, Shug, thank you for the
finger
call, first of all.
Slipped.
You sound very sweet, very lovely. I appreciate you. As much as you love Mexican food, that is how much I enjoy warm brie that I spread on a baguette, okay? Brie, love it.
He can eat brie, but he won't.
Brie's my favorite cheese in the world.
You know, I swear
nice
my...
spreadable brie.
Don't you have to sell me on it.
American cheese, cheddar cheese. Toby was kind enough to give me some Wisconsin cheese. I'm pummeling that left, right, center.
I swear
I
to
like
myself.
Cheese. If it's solid cheese...
3 years into our thing, someone goes, how could you let him get away with that take? Or that? I said, if I just fought him on every food take, we wouldn't do anything else. And I said I wouldn't do it. And here I am. He's got me.
Okay.
In the end of a segment, he hung up on my only witness.
This is the chips. Are we ready?
Yeah.
And I'd like to remind
you. Is it
everyone,
still warm at least? I heat it up for you.
I don't want to put my finger in there.
Yeah, don't put your finger in. Because I'm going to eat the rest of it. So don't like, you know.
Okay. Is that enough?
Yeah, it's good. Grant Paulson trying queso. Take a bite. Just live. His lips are filled with smile.
I don't hate it.
There it is. There it is. There it is.
I really don't hate
there
it.
There it is. You know why? Because it's incredible.
Now.
Yeah.
Aftertaste.
Yep. Makes you want more.
It's a little too spicy. Like, just slightly. On a scale. Not too spicy. Like, because I ate chicken wings that are a lot spicier. But in terms of just a dip, it's a little harsh, but the taste of it, like, did you grab the spicy version?
No.
This is the mild?
This is the mild.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I would say this is like on a spice of a cheese dip.
Yeah.
What I would imagine to be like a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10.
Oh.
And I want it to be like a 2.
Yeah. It's realistically,
like,
it's about 3.
I mean, I absolutely would eat more of this.
Look at this. He's eating more. Grant Paulson, everybody. You grows up and you grows up and you grows up.
Now.
Shug, we did it.
I want to be very clear about something.
Okay.
I still hate nacho cheese as a liquid. And I will always hate nacho cheese as liquid. I think this is a different thing, and I do like this a little bit. I'm not even doing a bit. I like this.
Of course you, of course you do. But B.
This is kind of silly.
It's silly.
It's, like it's not.
It's bad. Almost like we've been telling you for a long time.
God.
That the thing you think isn't based in reality at all.
I'm definitely going to pummel this the whole break.
You thought the Cheesecake Factory only made cheesecakes.
I'm psyched right now. I got to text my wife. I'm getting queso next time I go to Chipotle.
He's doing queso. He's doing sushi. He's eating Indian food.
Why wouldn't I have assumed I'd like it? I love cheese.
Because you don't know anything. This is you had a nacho cheese experience at 7-Eleven when you were four. You and Joey rode your bikes there.
I still do.
And you're like, I don't like it.
No. Let's Obama style. Let me be clear.
Do a full thing. Full Obama after eating nacho cheese. Go.
Let me be clear.
Yep.
My daughters go to Sidwell Friends. I hate nacho cheese. That will not change. This is not about nacho cheese states and non-nacho cheese states. It's about the United States of America. I do like this dip. I'll eat more of it. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
We did it.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
For those curious, we did enjoy some delicious queso cheese during the break.
Grant, it was so good, Grant had to call his wife, and he informed her that he likes queso, and she said, I think, quote, what?
She was a little surprised. I've got some research to do.
Yeah.
I got some things to confirm based on some of the allegations you made, but I think we're in a good place.
You're in a overall. Great place. Listen, you moved something from one category to another.
Correct.
Anytime that happens in your life, that's a big deal as far as I'm concerned.
Speaking of moving things from one category to another, keeping things moving. Mike McDaniel has gone from having a job to not having a job. So yesterday, you and I were kicking around this possibility, Danny, that Washington was going to get left holding the bag and that this could end up backfiring in a big way if you're Dan Quinn, that the walls are closing on you a little bit. Remember, this happened in Atlanta many years ago. He fired, at that point, it was all three coordinators. In one fell swoop, keeping his job, he fired his OC, his DC, and his special teams coach. This time around, it was just the OC and the DC. But you and I were looking at it as, what if they don't get the OC that they want, right, whoever that is, and they end up having to settle or they roll the dice on a young guy, Grant Yudinski from Jacksonville. They go with David Blough internally, who's never even been a quarterback's coach for a full season, who's never drawn up a game plan, who's never called a play, and it doesn't go well. Like, he has a bad first season or he's not quite ready. And if you're Quinn, your career's on the line, your job's on the line with that hiring. I think there's a much higher floor for their defensive coordinating hire because there's a lot of veteran, longtime established coaches out there that they can choose from. But all of a sudden today, with McDaniel being available, not knowing if he's going to come here or not, it feels like they could hit a home run. Like, there's a path to Kingsbury to McDaniel where you like the option a lot more. It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
And I think almost no matter what they do defensively, it's going to be an upgrade. But let's say Witt to Ulbrich, Witt to Jim Schwartz,
yeah,
Witt to even Raheem Morris. Like, these are all significant upgrades. A Dan Quinn staff led by Ulbrich and Mike McDaniel going into this season compared to Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury last year is a way better staff.
It certainly is. And you know, I tweeted this the other day, Bad Funny Danny, Grant's at Grant H. Paulson. You could do better than Kingsbury. Right, you could. The list isn't very long, but you could. The risk is if you don't, you could do a lot worse. So the point I made at the time is I said, you know, now listen, if they end up with Mike McDaniel, I'll have to eat all my words because I said at the time I would not have let go of Cliff Kingsbury because I'm afraid of the abyss. I'm afraid of the Neanderthal, Mesozoic, Matt Nagy style guy that's going to come in here and do what the head coach wants and run the dang ball and punt on every fourth down and. You know, kind of bring 1991 back. But if you end up with Mike McDaniel through all this, you know, tomfoolery, song and dance, musical chairs, how could you say anything but a win?
It's also funny the timing of everything. And like, we have to react in real time. That's the gig. So all you could talk about is all that is available to you information wise. I don't think they knew Mike McDaniel was getting fired. I mean, I was talking to people that would have known about McDaniel as recently as, would it have been Tuesday night? Which was after his meeting with the owner of the Dolphins. I don't think they knew he was getting fired, right? And I say that to bring up that I think when we're suggesting, okay, here are the options, they might stumble into this and it might work out beautifully, but they rolled the dice not knowing. Like, it's not like you moved on from Cliff Kingsbury because you said Mike McDaniel is definitely going to be available. But in that same way, if McDaniel got fired in week 15, how different would we have viewed moving on from Cliff? It would have felt more like what the Dolphins are doing with Harbaugh out there, where everyone's going, oh, they want Harbaugh. That would be an upgrade. Whereas if Washington ousted Cliff, they had this departure at the end of the season the same day via the meeting, just like it happened, and McDaniel was already fired, I think the whole rhetoric after would have been like, well, Mike McDaniel would be the perfect fit. He's out there, and that's who they're gunning for. It would not have been nearly as risky, and we wouldn't have reacted the same way we did.
I think that's fair.
But there's also no right lock on. That you get him.
No,
he could be a head coach, and you're right back to square one, rolling the dice on David Blau or somebody else.
And there are other OC jobs that are pretty appealing, too. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of it.
They could announce that they're hiring Brian Daboll in 3 days, and I could be right back to going, I don't think this is that much better than Cliff. I don't really like this that much, and this could backfire in a huge way.
Yeah, my Daboll, I used him as kind of the example. I was like, I'm looking for some kind of stability here with a guy that's got some pelts on the walls and offensive mind. My tier, or kind of my bin that I would look in, is the disgraced former head coach. Like the guy that no one's in a hurry to hire as a head coach anytime soon. The Josh McDaniels tier, right? Where you're like, this guy's had a couple times. No one's interested in him being a head coach. Now, maybe somebody is at this point, which I find laughable, but whatever. And he's my OC for a few years. If you go get the young rising star, you got him for 2 years and you're doing this again. That's kind of the thing we talked about a million times with Dan Quinn getting hired. It's the defensive head coach or leader of men corollary where you're going to have to hunt for the offensive coordinator for a while, which isn't great for Daniels. So I was looking in that tier and Daboll would sort of fit that bill. The specifics of his scheme, you know, the good thing is he was there when Josh Allen went from wildly inaccurate and inconsistent to MVP candidate. So maybe there's some, level of influence there that he could bring here. And the other part is, of course, he can't wait to run quarterback power and get his quarterback sent to the blue 10 a million times. So maybe that's not the right answer. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at that. I think you throw out the, oh, but what about in 2 years? Forget about that if Mike McDaniel's available. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a consideration for me anymore. Oh, I'm worried about losing the young up whippersnapper. Maybe I'll default to the veteran guy. If McDaniel could come here, you break all your rules and go get him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still thinking about it. I still worry about it. I'm still bothered by it. But it's, as I always will be when you have a defensive-minded head coach, it is what you box yourself into. It also has nothing to do with whether or not I would hire McDaniel. It is a good problem to have. You didn't even get there with Cliff Kingsbury. You almost did in year one and then backfired, and you didn't even have to worry about it in year two. But if you're bringing in McDaniel, presumably you're bringing in a whole new staff. I don't know how many of these guys stick. Maybe they keep Blau in the building, although he might go to Detroit or something. But does Frank Smith come with him, who helps with his run game and does a really good job in Miami? Like, how many of those guys come here with Mike McDaniel would be pretty telling as well. Let's talk to Joe Varden of The Athletic, covers the NBA. Trae Young is now a Washington Wizard. Will he be shut down this year? Is he a short-term asset because he's got an expiring contract after next year if they pick up an option that he has to exercise for $49 million? Or is he going to be here for the long term over the next several years? We'll ask Joe about that next on The Fan.